And he's going to play Deck the Halls. And he did that all by heart. He didn't read the music, he just played it. That's great. All right. And his sister's going to come now. Mercy Marchese's going to come and play Away in a Manger. That was Mercy. Very good. And Sophie Lindgar is going to come. Play Jingle Bells and also Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So here comes Sophie. See, you going to play the piano today, are you? Okay. I'm so used to seeing her with that cello, but today she's going to play the piano. All right. Well, I'll tell you, we've got some budding artists here, and that was great. And Devin Langlois is going to come, and she's already blessed us this Christmas season. She's played several pieces, and she's going to play Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That was great. Boy, the kids did great, didn't they, huh? Tremendous. And we appreciate each one of them, and we appreciate the talents that they have. And as God helps to develop that talent, who knows what's going to happen in the future for them. It'll take them many places. As they continue to glorify the Lord in their talents, God will bless them abundantly, I'm sure. Praise the Lord. Thank you, kids, for that. That was really great, and it was a real treat. Praise the Lord. In a few moments, we will together again remember the reason for the season. Christmas is a time when we not only enjoy the moment, but we oftentimes reflect previous Christmases. It's amazing when you think of it, what Christmas is like once you know the Lord. Do you remember what it was like before you knew the Lord? Remember what Christmas was like back then? What you thought a great Christmas was before you knew Christ? And now how you define Christmas and the joy of Christmas since you've met the Lord and accepted Him into your life. I was taken again with the passage that we find in John's Gospel. It's the first chapter of John. But this verse that really, I think, sums up a lot of what Christmas is all about. It's John 1, verse 14. And it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And I was thinking on this thought of Jesus. He is the one who is full of grace, and He's full of truth. And that kind of sums up the reason why He came. To think that God cared so much that He would send His Son. It's really kind of a summary statement of what precedes it here in this chapter. Because the verses that precede it give us, in a brief fashion, the whole purpose of the Christ child coming. We've read it many times, and I believe it fits right in with Christmas. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him." I believe in the halls of academia today, perhaps we need to hear that resound. "All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." That the God we serve would care so much for us that He would send His Son to reveal to us the fact that God is one who creates out of nothing. And that we today are blessed because of this. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And then it goes on to give the witness of John, who was sent from God, who came as a witness that He might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through Him. Careful to acknowledge that He was not the light. And it says here, He was not the light, but came that He might bear witness of the light. "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him." And then this wonderful statement that includes you and me today. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And then we get that statement in verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace. Full of grace. The grace of God. We sometimes use that word of people. We say, "Oh, wasn't she gracious?" Or, "He was a person that, you know, He was so graceful in what He did." I mean, and we use a term like that, and we try to define it in human terms. It's something that someone does and we think is maybe a little out of the ordinary. It displays kindness and generosity. But when we talk about the grace of God, think about it, the grace of God. That God does not impute unto us what we deserve. Because none of us deserve grace. None of us deserve grace. And before Jesus came, there was no one of whom it could be said they were full of grace. Not the kind of grace that God gives.
It was a bleak situation. There was no hope when we say when he came in the fullness of time. It was because there was absolutely no place you could turn to where you would find the kind of grace that only God could give. And it says he was full of grace. The enemy at times will come and he will plague your heart and your soul and try to bring condemnation to you. And it's in those moments you need to remind yourself of this verse of Scripture. You serve the one who's full of grace. Grace. God did not consign you to where you rightfully belong. A destiny that would end in the blackness of hell. But he sent his Son, full of grace. Grace of God. We call ourselves sinners saved by grace. Where did it come from? It came from the heart of God, and it came in the form of a baby in Bethlehem who grew, lived this life on this earth. They were able to experience the ministry of such a one that they had never experienced before. We beheld his glory, to behold the glory of God in the flesh. What a wonderful thing. And they testified to this, those who were under his teaching, those who heard him speak, those who were healed by him, those who were ministered to by him. They beheld the glory of God, not the glory of a man, but the glory of God was in Christ. And he displayed his grace to all he ministered to. And you and I are included in that today. The grace of God that reached down and touched us and made Christmas different for some of us here today. If you weren't raised in a Christian family, you know what it was like before you knew God, before you knew Christ as your Savior. What it was like before you had experienced the grace of God, and now you have had the grace of God shed upon you. And you experience the wonder of it all. And you too can sense the glory of the risen Christ because of his grace. Don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God gave it to you anyways. He gives it to all those who call upon the name of the Lord. And it transforms us in a moment of time. There's nothing quite like it. There's nothing as powerful as it. People are searching for an answer to life's problems. And they look everywhere but in the place where they can find it. And it's right here in this gospel. Right here in the first chapter. It tells the whole story. It's all summed up right here. What life is all about. And where it's at. And where you can find hope. And most importantly, for the sinner, where you can find grace. Jesus, he was full of grace. That's the kind of person I want to be around. That's the kind of person I want as a friend. That's the kind that I want as my God. I want a God full of grace. And it says not only was he full of grace, he was full of truth. We sometimes say, well, you know, at times truth hurts. And it does, doesn't it? It does at times. When you hear the truth, sometimes truth hurts. But we know also from Scripture that there's something wonderful about truth that sets people free. Especially when it's the truth of God. There are some who think they have the truth. They claim to have the truth. But it leads nowhere but to bondage. But the Scripture says that Jesus was not only full of grace, he was full of truth too. People say, how do you know Jesus is the way? Well, you just know when you turn your life over to him, he comes and he brings that divine assurance. That this is not a myth, this is not a fantasy, this is not something that someone made up. This is not just a story. That's what some would say about Christmas. I've heard it already. Perhaps you've heard it too. Those who rail against Christians and Christianity and the Christmas story and say, it's all a myth, it's all a myth. It's nothing to it. It's just wishful thinking. It's a fairy tale. Well, someone sold them a fairy tale. Because in Christ, we find not only the grace of God, but the truth of God. And at times, the truth of God will cut down into the deepest part of man's heart. It's not always easy to face the truth. We sometimes say that when we try to encourage someone to come out. We say, well, why don't you face the truth? Why? To face the truth means that there are those in this world that have to acknowledge their own inadequacy, their own sinfulness, the fact that they're in bondage, and no one wants to admit to that. They want to give the idea that everything's okay. Why, it's not me. There's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. Yet Jesus comes as he is able to. By his Holy Spirit, he speaks to man's heart, and he says, listen, this is the truth, and we're the better off for it, my friend. You and I, we need to hear the truth. We need to know the truth. And the Bible says Jesus is full of truth. Truth. What a God we serve. Think about it. And the writer here in the gospel is thinking back the life of Christ, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recounting the wonderful privilege that those early Christians had to actually be in the presence of the one who was grace and truth personified. To be in his presence. That's what Christmas is all about for the saint, you know. We could say, well, you know, we didn't have that privilege to meet Christ in the flesh, but oh, we have sensed his presence. Every day we sense the presence of the Lord by his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. There's going to be someone who's going to come alongside, the advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and he's going to reveal me. And every day, as we walk through life, we can feel the presence of the one who walked this earth. We can feel his presence in the now. We can feel the grace, the truth that emanates from his being. Full of grace. Full of truth. You wonder sometimes, why would anyone in the world want to reject a message like this? Why would anybody want to go through life not experiencing the grace of God? Why would they want to face all the harsh realities of life, all the difficulties of life, having no hope? Why would they want to live that way and not experience the grace of a loving God? Why would they want to live a lie, as some are willing to do, perpetuating a lie in their very living of life? Why would they want to be that way instead of walking in the truth of a God who loves them? And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I pray that we will begin to see more of the glory of the one who is full of grace and truth. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There are those who have gone on before into the heavenlies, and they can truthfully say, when we lived our lives on earth, we actually beheld his glory. We saw him. Physically, we saw him. We were ministered to by him. And oh, the wonder of that. Wouldn't it be great for us to say, you know, maybe physically he did not walk among us, but oh, every day By His Holy Spirit, we experienced His presence and we beheld the glory of God because of what He was doing actively in our lives. On a daily basis, the grace and the glory of God and the truth of God, all those wonderful things we experience. I would pray, oh Lord, let the fullness of Your grace and the fullness of Your truth bless our church, bless us individually, so that we would see Your glory. Let the glory of the Lord come down and be among us. Let His blessing be upon us. Ought to be the prayer of every one of us. Oh God, when we don't have all the answers, when we're faced with perplexing times, the uncertainties that are all about us in the world today, oh God, the answer is Your glory. As the ancients said, we beheld His glory. May we be able to also say, oh Lord, and we beheld Your glory. Your glory. What a wonderful present that would be, wouldn't it? Come down, O Lord. Reveal Your glory among us. Fill us with Your grace. Fill us with Your truth. Let that message of Christmas ring true in our hearts this day. And may it carry us on to the year before us. Let us pray. Lord, the world does not understand the sacred things of God, but we understand. And we know, and I pray this very Sunday morning, that, Lord, all of us would recommit ourselves to pursuing You with a passion. As it is written, we beheld His glory. May we also, in truth, be able to recognize Your desire to be at work in our lives on a daily basis, that we could say, oh, yes, we beheld Your glory this week. We're expecting to behold it next week. Oh, Lord, we want to walk in the present tense with You. Let Your glory surround us and fill us. Use us. Fill us with Your grace and truth. There's a world that needs a revelation of You. May we be that instrument in Your hands to show the world at least a bit of Your glory in our lives. Amen. We remember this morning the sacrifice of our Lord because what it all comes down to, the beautiful, touching story of a baby born in a very humble way to a young girl, Mary, and being placed in that trough that was designed to feed animals. It's a touching story. But it really has far more meaning than that. It's a story that doesn't end there. So often, you know, stories that are told, they have a beginning and an end. And you say, why, wasn't that nice? We could walk away from the biblical record and say, well, that was a nice, that's a story in the Bible. It's all there. It's a nice story. That's the way some people look at the message of Christmas. It's just a nice story. included in the Bible. But the wonderful thing is, the story doesn't have an end there. And what we have is a story that continues on from a manger in a stable in Bethlehem to a place of death on a hill called Golgotha, place of the skull. It's not the kind of place that really has the same eye appeal, if you know what I mean. We kind of look at the manger scene, and I'm not so sure we have a correct view of what it was really like. Perhaps it wasn't quite as beautiful as the manger scenes that we construct in our minds. Perhaps the odors and the smells were a little different in that manger back then than what we're used to when we have the manger scene in the Christmas story that we retell. But certainly, the place of death was different. And that's what it all led to. Christmas leads us to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. The songwriter then pens, lead me to Calvary. That's where, if there is an ending to the story, and it's there on that hill, it's rather bleak place. Not a place where a lot of people would naturally want to go. Few spectators, perhaps. But that's where the beauty of the Christmas story leads us. And that's really part of the beauty of it all when you think about it, because the beauty is not wrapped up in a picture we see there in a physical sense. It's wrapped up in the meaning of it all. That the grace and truth that came to us in the person of Christ now, the plan of salvation is being fulfilled on a cross, on a hill called Mount Calvary. And that's what brings us this morning to the table of the Lord. Because Jesus said, as he broke the bread and drank the wine, he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget what it's all about. The gospel message is not just all about Christmas and the coming of the Christ child. It's really about salvation and God's love. That God loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to have his son lay down his life for you. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't tricked. He wasn't misled. He wasn't, as some think, surprised by it all. Some think, well, Jesus thought everybody would receive it. He was really surprised. Some theologians, believe it or not, think he was really surprised by it. He wasn't surprised by it all. No one took his life. He laid it down. He laid it down. That's what Christmas is all about, you see. We don't have the cross near the manger scene, do we? Perhaps we should do that sometime. Have the manger scene, but then say, but this reminds us what it's about. This reminds us what it's about. The gift giving is a way we can symbolize that God loved us so much that he gave. We give gifts because of the joy of the moment, but God gave. Brethren, would you come forward? We're going to serve God's people this morning with these elements that represent his body and his shed blood. I'm going to ask that you would please hold these emblems until we're all served, and then we'll participate together. praise the Lord. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. Into human affairs and did not allow what would normally be thought as a natural outcome to occur, but miraculously provided grace. Grace. We have this symbol of the body of our Lord to remind us of the price that He paid, so that we could experience the freedom and the life and the grace of our Lord. With gratitude in our hearts, let us partake of this symbol of His broken body in Jesus' name. Juice reminds us of the blood of Jesus. This do in remembrance of me. People oftentimes want to be remembered in a certain way. There are those who will make their plans before their demise, and they will have fairly small monuments erected, cemeteries throughout the land, and they'll say, "Why, when I go, that's going to be there. That's going to be my spot, my burial place. They're going to remember me. Look at the monument I built. Think about it. When Jesus had an opportunity to speak to those closest to Him, and He says, I want you to remember me, look what He chose. He chose some bread, some wine. He said, this is how I want you to remember me. Because you see, what we're doing today points us to the real reason for Christmas and the plan of salvation. It was all about God's love and grace. That's what it was all about. And so, we have crosses that we make to remind us, but we have this special time of communion that Jesus said, this is the way I want you to remember me. I want you to break the bread to remind you that I walked this earth. I wasn't just someone's imagination. I was a real person that walked this earth and did the things I did. And there were many witnesses to that. And then the cup and its redness reminds us of the blood that he shed at Calvary. It wasn't just that he lived life as we live it. That was important, but it was in the dying of our Lord. That's where he secured salvation for us. And the blood reminds us of that, and the cup reminds us of that. That Christ did not just live for himself. He lived for us so that we might have life. And it was in the dying of the Lord. That's what released the power of God in the recesses of hell itself, in all the earth. All of a sudden, the presence and the glory of God could be felt. And Jesus died on the cross. Sheol could not keep the souls of departed saints. The gates of hell had been broken down because of the power of God. The world is different now because of that one singular event. It's the blood of Christ that alone atones for the sins of mankind. And that, my friend, is what atones for your sins, for my sins. That's it. You can't find it anywhere else. It's in the blood of Jesus. And we're reminded of that this Christmas. And we say, thank you, Lord, for your shed blood and what it means. Let us partake of this symbol of his shed blood in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell me that lovely name. Stand as we sing it again. Oh, thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell me lovely name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Thanks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We bless the holy name of the Lord our God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I pray that you continue to have a blessed holiday season with family and friends. Be safe on the roads.
pray God's protection in your lives. And, you know, as we come to the end of a year, I always think about this. God's grace gives us an opportunity, gives us another chance. Some of you here today might say, you know, I really made some terrible mistakes this past year. And we all make mistakes. We're people. That's part of being human. But you know, you can learn. If you will listen to the voice of God, you can be taught. You can learn. And you can say, you know, Lord, by your divine grace, this year I might have really messed up last year some things. But I'm believing that this year is going to be a greater year. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to depend on you. And I'm going to believe that some of the things that plagued me last year, they're not going to be a problem this year. I'm going to get the victory over it. I'm going to live my life as close to you as possible. Hear me today. The closer you get to Jesus, the more blessing is available to you as a child of God. Get close to Jesus. That's the key to blessing. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you have done for each one of us. Now we prepare to leave this place. I ask your divine blessing to be upon everyone here. Protect them, O God, I pray. I ask that this would be a year of blessing that is before us. And may we give you all the glory and all the praise for what you've done in our lives. I pray this in the name of the Christ of Christmas. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. And all